This album's celebrating an anniversary.
That's right. It's that time of Monday where we talk to Sam Smith about another anniversary album.
I'm back.
Hi, buddy.
I'm
hey.
Back. Yeah.
Hey, how was Laneway's last week?
That was good, wasn't it?
Did you have any
good time.
Highlights?
Denzel Curry was good.
Whoa,
had
yeah.
a good mosh there.
I heard that went off.
Yeah, it did went off, yeah.
Did you get in the mosh?
I did. This old man survived the mosh.
This old man survived a mosh.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But achy afterwards, though.
Cool. So who are we looking at today?
So today we're looking at Dusty Springfield.
Sick.
Her 1969 album, Dusty in Memphis. And this was her fifth studio album. It's turning 50 years old. Long time ago.
Oh, just as old as BFM.
Exactly.
Radio Bosom.
That Radio B was around when great albums like this were being made.
Yeah. Did you know my mum did a show on here in the 70s?
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it runs in the family.
Crazy, eh?
I know.
Back when they only had vinyl. No CDs. No USBs.
That's so cool. No streaming or anything.
No.
So just a bit of background about Dusty. She was born in 1939 in West Hampstead, and she learned to sing at home. And she joined her first professional singing group in 1958. They were called the Lana Sisters. And then a couple of years later, she formed the Springfields with her brother, actually. And this was kind of where her initial success as a singer happened. And in 1963, she went solo. And for the next 5 years, she had a massive amount of success with 12 top 20 hits in the UK. And she quickly became considered the queen of UK pop.
Mm.
And by 1965, was actually famously the best-selling female singer in the world at that time.
Boom.
So she was quite big. And with this success, by 1968, she actually had signed with world-famous Atlantic Records, which was the sort of spiritual home of R&B music in the 50s and 60s, and was also the label of one of her idols, Aretha Franklin. And with this this move, they really wanted to boost her credibility as a soul and R&B singer. So they basically sent her down to Memphis with a band of really top session R&B players, and decided they were going to record an album full of kind of soul and R&B songs, or in a soul and R&B style, and that session would become the Dusty in Memphis sessions. And this was basically an album made up mostly of material by singer-songwriters. So we've got songs here from the likes of Carole King and Burt Bacharach and those sorts of people, but they're performed with like a very soulful arrangements and kind of in a strong soul and R&B style. And the sessions didn't actually go entirely smoothly, as this was the first time she had not self-produced her records, because up to that point she'd produced her own records as well. So she was giving up that responsibility, and with that brought a lot of insecurities for her, and she felt a bit uncomfortable doing so. And she also felt a bit uncomfortable being compared to a lot of great soul singers who had recorded in Memphis before her. So she, yes, it was a bit uncomfortable, but she managed to get through it. And the results are pretty cool. So we're going to play, firstly, track number 5. It's called Don't Forget About Me.
Okay.
And this is a track by Carole King and her husband at the time, Jerry Goffin. And it's very soulful, very soulful arrangement. You've got some wonderful horns in there as well. And also it features backing vocals from the Sweet Inspirations, who are the backing vocalists on most of the tracks on this record. And the Sweet Inspirations also, of course, include Whitney Houston's mother, Sissy Houston.
Don't forget about me now.
Oh, yes. Going off to a good start for anniversary albums.
Groovy, groovy. I do like that track a lot, actually.
Yeah, Don't Forget About Me.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we're going to change things up a bit and slow things down, maybe create a more cinematic atmosphere with a track number 8 called The Windmills of Your Mind.
Okay.
And this was actually originally by a French composer, Michel Legrand, who actually sadly died, actually, the other week. It was written for a film, The Thomas Crown Affair, which it also won Best Song at the Academy Awards for. And she was reluctant to record the song because she said she didn't identify with the words, but in the end they recorded it and it went to number 3 in the adult contemporary charts.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Far out. So you would say that this album was like superstar, dusty, like pinnacle moment.
Well, I think so, yeah. Even though at the time, as I'll talk about at the end, it got a bit... It didn't do as well commercially as they were hoping. Oh. But it's gone on to be considered a bit of a classic.
Yeah. All right, this is The Windmills of Your Mind. Round, oh,
like a circle in a, oh, spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on a never spinning wheel, like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your keys that jingle in your pocket, words that jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the pictures hanging in a hallway and the fragment of a song? Half-remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the color of a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning reel, as the images unwind, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
Like that. That's very cinematic.
You're just so Gucci there.
Atmospheric. She is, isn't she?
Yeah. She can just, like, with her, you know, dusty voice.
It's that dusty voice, isn't it?
It's that sultry. Yeah. It's
very smooth.
Incredible quality to her voice. So what we're going to do is go to an air break and then commence the ending of Anniversary Albums.
Okie dokie.
You might know what's going to come up next, but I'm looking forward to this track very much. What do you reckon?
It's a classic. classic.
Red. Oh, wait, hold up. I almost ended the show prematurely. I played the wrong thing. All right, excuse me, but you see, back in BFM. Next.
St. Pete, my man!
Welcome to the afterlife. There's been a little issue with your paperwork. Under best thing you've ever done, it says had a gelato at the movies in Devonport.
Yeah!
It should be something uplifting, moral, goodly.
Have you tried their gelato?
The Vic Devonport. Fresh gelato, quality coffee, a beautiful cinema. Your ideal summer getaway destination. The Vic Devonport. Return ferry trip and movie ticket combo only $19 for an adult or $12 for a child. Go to thevic.co.nz.
The dichotomy of Julian Baker. You cannot look away. Her soul-bearing expressions are so raw and vulnerable, yet pronounced with so much strength.
Sounds good, huh? Well, you could be heading along for free, thanks to 95BFM. Just grab your Simplicity B card and stay tuned for your chance to win. 95BFM presents Julian Baker, February 15th at the Tuning Fork. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
Turn out the lights.
95BFM presents Finn Andrews, live at the Auckland Town Hall Concert Chamber, March 30th.
Chop through the heart and down in flame.
Celebrating the imminent release of his solo debut, One Piece at a Time, the Vale's frontman performs this intimate new work live with band and strings. Finn Andrews, March 30th at the Auckland Town Hall Concert Chamber, with support from Reb Fountain. Tickets on sale now from banishedmusic.com/tickets.
The Feral Folk at Valhalla Touring powerfully present Deaf Heaven live at Galatos. One of the most blistering and vital bands in contemporary heavy music, live in Auckland for the very first time. After clogging best of 2018 lists with their latest album, Ordinary Corrupt Human Love, Deaf Heaven finally arrived to smash some Kiwi jaws to the floor with their boundary-pulverizing sonic assault. A night of face-melting chaos not to be missed. Deaf Heaven, with support from Tuscoma, live at Galatos, Thursday, February 21st. Tickets available now from Under the Radar.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
Drive Island 6, the hottest recurring, completely free, Central City-based live drive time radio show in history, returning for its unholy sixth incarnation. Behold, Johnny and Big Hungry in the burning flesh as they crack upon a fresh gateway to hell. A hell filled with giveaways, games and shit-hot live performances from Bad Timing and an Earth Boogie DJ set. 95BFM Drive Island number 6. Friday, 8th of February, 4 till 7pm at the Alan Melville Centre, Freiburg Square in the godless heart of the city. With thanks to New Zealand On Air Music.
Kia ora koutou ma, no mai, hara mai, ki te irirangi pōho. My name is Geneva and this is Morning Glory Monday. I'm here with Sam Smith.
Kia ora.
And we're doing anniversary albums, Dusty Springfield.
Dusty in Memphis. Yes. Yeah.
So from 1969.
How was it received? Well, as I was saying before, it was a bit of a commercial failure.
No.
Didn't even make the top 40 in the UK and only made it to 99 in the States. So this was despite the album receiving excellent reviews. Critics were very impressed with the material the album offered. And the album then stalled commercially, so it had a bit of a stalling effect on her career, which was the exact opposite of what her and Atlantic Records were hoping they would get out of her going down to Memphis to record.
Do you feel like it's one of those situations where you're doing so well in your career that like anything minor, because it was still successful, it just wasn't as successful.
As they were hoping it was going to be.
So to that, it's like a commercial failure, exactly. But really she's still caning it.
She's definitely still caning it. entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's actually subsequently gone on to be considered as a classic album, as one of her best albums, if not her best album.
Yeah.
And Rolling Stone magazine voted it the 89th best album of all time, and Entertainment Weekly called it one of the greatest pop records ever.
Oh.
So it's definitely got that legacy now.
We love you, Dusty.
Even though at the time it was a bit of a commercial failure, so to speak. But as for her career, she continued to record right up to her unfortunate death in 1999. Mm. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1994, and she released another 9 albums after this. And had that big massive hit as well with the Pet Shop Boys, of course, in 1987.
Didn't she also like come out?
Yeah.
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 But
yeah.
She had a partner called Norma.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gay icon.
Very much so. She is very much a gay icon. Yes. Still to this day as well.
Yes.
And
glamorous.
Yeah, she's great. And we're going to finish on that note with one of her best known songs, one of her biggest hits. And this really captures the essence of this album very well. It's very soulful, very R&B style. It's, of course, Son of a Preacher Man. Very much covered by a lot of people, including yourself.
Yeah.
It would actually be her last top 10 hit for nearly 20 years. So, it's classic.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, as always.
No,
and I'll see you
pleasure.
Next week.
You will.
Yes.
Yeah. Ka kite.
And, what are you going to do for Waitangi Day?
I don't actually know.
All right. Well, that's always good to have no plan, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one Waitangi I went out to Marae in West Auckland and had a great time. The Wailers were playing.
What?
And it was great vibes.
What?
Yeah.
When was this?
About 2015, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Come back, Wailers.
Yeah, come back, through. Wailers. Haere mai.
Haere mai. Kaua fuck em up. Cool. Well, here we go.
Bye.
Bye.
Preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather round and started talking, Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, oh, he was.
Yes, he was.
How will I remember the look was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the sly, taking time to make time, telling me that he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.